not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's 1 John 2, verse 15. Friends, today's program is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. It is for the glory of God. It is for your growth in God's Word. And it is in support of our brothers and sisters in Canada who, as you will hear in this message, have new challenges to face to continue to preach the truth. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest the works should be exposed. Oh, Father, we lift up this text to you as we study here. Oh, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me to those who hear this message. Oh, Father, that those here in America, that those who hear this, that those who hear it from other preachers, that those who study in your word would stand for that word, that they would come out of darkness and that they would allow the light to be seen in them. Oh, Father, the darkness is so powerful, but not as powerful as you. And so, Lord, I ask, speak now, not only through me, but through pastors all across this country as we stand together for your word. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus I pray. Amen. Well, friends, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds, their works were evil. In Isaiah 5 and verse 20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Friends, every direction we turn, we see this taking place, not simply in America, not simply in our communities, but all around the world. There was a bill that was passed in Canada and goes into effect this month, is in effect, that forbids anyone from talking to somebody about their sexual orientation, their gender, in a way that would cause them to be counseled to change to the biblical view of sexuality. The government of Canada has taken it upon themselves to proclaim the Bible wrong. You and I know that that is not true, that the Bible is right. We know that God's Word is light, that it is correct. We know that the Word is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Yes, brothers and sisters, the darkness has not overcome the light. It goes on in verse 14 to say, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." We know that that Word is Jesus Christ. And we know that God has laid out not only in those things of sexuality, but all things a standard. We call it a biblical standard. But people don't want to hear that. This world wants to take the bitter, take the darkness and call it light. Take the evil and call it good. This world has turned away from God. When did it turn, you ask? Almost immediately. But it has become very clear in these current days. People ask me all the time, are we living in the last times? And I say to them, we are closer to the last days than we have ever been before. And I believe it is clear. I believe that you can see it all around us. Not only governments such as what Canada has done, but churches. Churches have turned away from God's Word. They have turned away from the truth. They have turned to the myths. And then they call the truth a myth. That's what this law does in Canada. It calls the truth a myth. Oh, friends, there is great sadness. Oh, there is great darkness. Because God's word has been ignored. God's word has been contradicted by those who do not know, by those who live in darkness, by those who love their darkness. It has been, my heart is broken. Let's look at this just a little bit. In Genesis chapter 1, beginning in the 26th verse, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. How did he create him? It tells us, male and female, he created them. He created them male and female. It repeats that in Genesis 5:2. He created them male and female. In Mark 10, verse 6, Jesus said, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." In Matthew 19, verse 4, Jesus said, "Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female?" Folks, this is clear. There is no question when a child is born, you see the gender. You see the gender. They are either male or female. No question. It's clear. According to Canada, you cannot force that on anyone. You cannot call somebody and counsel somebody to be either male or female that they were given when they were born. Let me read some of this. This bill is called the C4 bill. And I just want to read a little bit out of here. It's going to criminalize in their criminal code in Canada anyone that's causing another person to undergo conversion therapy, promoting or advertising conversion therapy. In the preamble of the bill, it says, "Heterosexuality, cisgender identity, and gender expression that conforms to the sex assigned to the person at birth are to be preferred over sexual orientation, gender identities, and gender expression is a myth." They're calling it a myth. I'm going to go on in this bill. I'm going to read a little bit more here. It goes on to say, and define conversion therapy as this: a practice, treatment, or service designed to change a person's sexual orientation to heterosexual, to change a person's gender identity to cisgender, change a person's gender expression so that it conforms to the sex assigned to the person at birth, repress or reduce non-heterosexual attraction or sexual behavior, repress a person's non-cisgender gender identity, or repress or reduce a person's gender expression that does not conform to the sex assigned to the person at birth. They're telling us that we can't tell somebody that it's wrong, according to the Word of God, to be homosexual, to call themselves by a different agenda than what God has assigned to them. Let me go on to read a little bit more here. "Everyone who knowingly causes another person to undergo conversion therapy, including by providing conversion therapy to that other person, is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for a term not more than 5 years. Similarly, everyone who knowingly promotes or advertises conversion therapy is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for a term of not more than 2 years." Oh, friends, the world loves its darkness. And the world is going to force its darkness on God's people. I think God's pretty clear. I think God is very clear. And yet, things like this are going on. Things like this are being said. Things like this are so destructive. So destructive. And man, the natural man, is just eating it up. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says this: "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Friends, this isn't anything new. This is as old as it gets, and it's still just as destructive. Just as destructive. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in the 9th verse. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Friends, we got to stand for truth. I'm calling on you as Christians to stand for truth. Do it in love. Do it in love, though. God does not give you and I the right to hate anyone. There's great debates over whether or not God hates. I think the scripture is very clear. But there is no debate. He does not give you and I the ability, He gives us the ability, but not the right to hate. In love, we must share the truth. In grace and mercy, we must seek God's salvation for those who are blinded. Who are they blinded by? By their own sin. They're blinded by the prince of this world. They're in darkness. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in the 3rd verse. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God, which is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and good conscience and sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things which they make confident assertions. Now we know the law is good, and if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for sexually immoral men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which I have been entrusted. Paul's laying out this list of sinful behaviors. Friends, we need to take note. Just because you or I do not partake in some of these things does not make us better than the people who do, but it does give us a responsibility in love to point them to truth. And it does not matter who says we can't. God's word says we are to. We cannot just become part of it. We cannot sit by and say it's okay. We must love them enough to tell them the truth. This kind of behavior, it spreads. There was a time in my life when it was completely unacceptable. And now not only has it been pushed to mainstream, but if you stand against it in many places, you're breaking the law. Oh, it shouldn't be so, should it? In Genesis 19, we're all familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Beginning in the 1st verse, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, my lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way. They said, no, we will spend the night in the town square. And he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. See, Lot knew the community around him. But in verse 4 it says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man. Now this is talking about everybody. Surrounded the house, and they called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them." Or in other words, that we may have sex with them, that we may force ourselves on them. Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, "I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly." We know what happened. We know God destroyed that city and the wickedness in that city. But friends, that wickedness is in our city. That wickedness is all around us. And it's being called wrong to stand against that wickedness. Why? Because people put darkness for light. In fact, people hate the light. In our opening text there in John 3, in verse 20, it says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest the works should be exposed." So you say, "Oh, well, that's all good and dandy, Pastor Jim, but we could get into some serious trouble. I could lose my job if I stand against those things. If I say that it's wrong." Friends, let me read to you what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 24th verse. And Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And that's what it is to stand for God's word. That is to lose our life for his word. It doesn't mean you'll be killed or you'll die. But that means you no longer are you, but it is in Christ that you are. It is Christ in me, Paul says. It is no longer I, but Christ in me. Is Christ in you? I know I sound like one who would expect you to stand against the lies. And friends, that's exactly what I'm calling you to do. I know that it could cost you your job. In Matthew, verse 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" What can you give? If your soul is lost because you love darkness, if your soul is lost because you do not love the light enough to proclaim it, you do not love the light enough to stand for it, if that's where you are and your soul is lost, how do you replace it? What shall you gain for your soul? I'll tell you, you will gain eternity in hell. You will gain eternity in hell. You will be lost forever. Oh, isn't your soul worth a little today? Pick up your cross and follow after him. You know, this subject of biblical sexuality, it's not the only place of darkness. Darkness is in so many things all around us. In this world, we have said that abortion is okay. And the number of people within the church that get abortions is staggering. I should say the number of people within the so-called church. Because the true church are the true believers of God. The truly elect. Those who God has chosen and he has made them a new creation. Those people will stand for his word. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Friends, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We need to stand up. There are so many ways of darkness. The path of darkness is wide. The gate of destruction is wide. But narrow is the road that leads to life. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the door. And the Bible says there are few who will find it. But what we do, instead of being righteous, we act as if we are righteous. And we become self-righteous with our own righteousness, which is no righteousness at all. We need to be covered in the righteousness of Christ. In Jeremiah 2, verse 35, it says, "You say, I am innocent. Surely his anger has turned from me. Please hear what he says after this. Behold, I will bring you to judgment for saying I have not sinned. Friends, this is sin. And if you are a Christian, if you belong to Jesus Christ, please share for those who love the darkness. Share the truth. Bring them into the light that they would know the truth. The Word of God makes it very clear that there are many who will not enter the kingdom of God. There are many who will be lost. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. What we need to say is the words of Psalm 139 and verses 23 and 24. We need to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any grievous way in me. And then if there is, and we know there is in each of us, lead me in the way everlasting. Or in other words, lead me in the light. Lead me in the light. Yes, friends, you know, we are not Christian because of our own will. We are Christian because of the will of God. It is not because of us. And since it is not of us, we need to understand and be thankful and give glory to our great God. In John chapter 6 and verse 65, and he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow. Friends, it is God who has made you a Christian. It is God who has saved you by His will, by His mercy, by His grace. And because of that, as it says in Ephesians 5:11, we should take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Are you willing to expose this tragedy that the Canadian government would say it's okay? In fact, not only okay, but that it is preferred style of sexuality that is so contrary to the Word of God. Are you okay with it? I hope not. Isaiah 5:20 again. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And you can say it this way. Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Why woe? Woe is the being lost to hell. Woe is being condemned for all eternity to torment. Woe is being separated from the love and mercy of God. Woe is all the most horrible things we could describe as hell. Because you wanted a little comfort not to stand for truth in this world and in this life. Oh, friends, I plead with you. I ask you, turn. Turn away from darkness. Turn to light. Turn to light. John chapter 3. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works are carried out in God. Friends, join me. Start with prayer. Start with prayer. Pray for those who think that this anti-biblical sexuality is good. Pray for them. Pray that God would save their souls that are on a collision course with hell. Pray for them that the Lord would bring light to their life. And then pray, oh Lord, how will you use me to reveal the light? Oh Lord, use me to bring light to darkness. And then pray, Lord, give me the strength not only to desire what is right before you, but to do what is right before you. to bring the light to people, to bring the light to men. Use me, Lord, and then get up and go and do what is right before God. Friends, I know it's not easy. I know it's not. I have to do it every day. And there are days that I have to fight myself because I sometimes get so filled with me that I'm not filled with the Spirit. And when I'm filled with me, I worry and think about what will happen to me, what will become of me. But when I am filled with the Spirit, I say, okay, Lord, I trust you to whatever will become of me. I will serve you. That's what I want to do. And that's what I call you to do too. Stand for what is right. Bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we close this message, as it goes out across the radio waves, it goes on to the internet and other places. Father, I just pray that you use it for your glory. Not because I'm such an eloquent speaker, which we know I am not. I stumble over my own words. I stutter through them. But, Lord, you are in control. And you take these meager offerings and use them to your glory. I pray, Father, that you have spoken through me. And that when men and women hear this, they will be moved to do what is right. That they will be moved to reveal you in love to those who need to hear truth. And as I close this, Father, I ask that you give me the strength to not only speak in victory when on the mountaintop, but to speak in victory, in truth, in light, even when it becomes difficult. To you be the glory, Father. I lift this up to you in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. And we pray, the Lord be with you. Sola Deo Gloria. Friends, Pastor Jim here. Just want to thank you for joining us for today's program. It is our deep prayer that God has been honored and glorified in this message. It is also our prayer that this message has encouraged you to bring the light into the world, the gospel light, that those in darkness might have light to see. I do thank you for putting up with my post-COVID voice, and hopefully that'll be getting back to normal here very soon. I was looking at Scripture, and in John 16 and verse 33, it says, I have said these things to you, that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We know that Jesus Christ has overcome the world, that Jesus Christ is the light, that Jesus Christ is the Word. Let's take Him to a world that needs Him so much, and trust in what He will do with those things that He sends us with. We invite you to partner with us, and there's a number of ways you can do that. You can partner with us by going to lightoftheworldradio.com. That's lightoftheworldradio.com. Click on the partner tab, which is going across the top, and you can give right there online, or you can get our address there, which is Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. That's Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. Or if you'd like to speak with us, you can call toll-free at 1-800-416-9352. We would love to hear from you. That is 1-800-416-9352. This program and Light of the Word Radio are brought to you by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.